At the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into their boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who was also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. We talked about Peter last week, my Easter message. I can identify very well with Peter. Peter was a lot like me. Maybe he was a lot like you also. Let's set the scene here. says Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. That's the name we would recognize. So here's a group of, I guess you could say, ragtag, downcast men sitting around and feeling sorry for themselves. Peter's probably tired of that, where's God and why has all this been allowed to happen? We've talked about that before. So he all of a sudden decides, I'm going fishing. Discouraged, he looks back to his former occupation, the old ways of doing things. I guess you could say Peter was already showing signs of leadership. Whatever he did or however he said it with whatever tone it was, they got up and said, okay, we'll go fishing with you. Maybe it was his personality. Sometimes he's very goal-oriented. Sometimes he is kind of strong or brash or hard to get along with. That's Peter. He was Peter. I'm a lot like Peter sometimes. We're all a lot like Peter. So here they are, they're fishing. Apparently, fishing all night long. That was a dumb idea. Really was. No fish. Nothing. Nada. They failed on the lake just as they had failed in Jerusalem, just as they failed their friend Jesus. But just before daybreak, as the sun apparently was creeping over the horizon, they were all standing out there in the boat, cold and wet and preoccupied with their old failure, that they didn't see a figure, a dark figure now, that was beginning to show itself on the beach. And this person calls out, says, children, have you any food? Children? They're calling us children? Who is this guy calling me children? Who does he think he is? But they answer him, no. So then this shadow of a man hollers back, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Maybe to Peter, something clicked. Maybe that sounds a little familiar. He remembers back when Jesus first came to him and called him out of the boat and said to follow him, cast down my net was the term he used. Maybe those memories begin to flood back into him of his friend that had led him out and into a new direction in his life, told him about God, opened his heart to a greater purpose. But then he had refused to tell others that he even knew of Jesus. So maybe Peter thought about that for a second, but then was downcast, and he looked back to that shadowy figure and said, who is that guy, and what does he know about fishing? We've been out here fishing all night. There's no fish. And he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Oh, as if the left side of the boat doesn't have fish. Whatever. Okay, guys, cast it on the right side. And they did. They let down their nets. Can you picture in your mind what they must have been thinking when they began to pull up the net and see the fish within it? Can you count them? Somebody counted them. What, 153 fish? Not 153 fish, 153 large fish, big fish, heavy fish, fish that they made a comment that it could have, should have broken the net, but it didn't. John sees all of this. He begins to put two and two together. And he points his finger, no doubt, towards that shadowy figure on the shore and says, it is the Lord! Then here Peter jumps in again, grabs his coat because apparently he had taken it off, fully dressed now. He jumps overboard. Did you catch how far this boat was? 200 cubits. Cubits about 18 inches from here to here. He's 100 yards away, fully dressed. At least the other guys had enough sense to stay in the boat. It doesn't explain how long it took. But now the scene changes. And you get the picture of all of these wet guys full of sand sitting around a campfire. That sand kind of clinging to their wet skin. They didn't care. Jesus was back. He had appeared to them before, but then he disappeared. They have no idea how long he's going to remain this time. So they've got to soak up every moment that they can get. And they eat together. And apparently at the conclusion of the breakfast, Jesus pulls Peter aside. And he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? I wish I knew what that meant. What was he looking at when he said these? Was he saying, do you love me more than all of these fishermen buddies that you've got? Do you love me more than Andrew, your brother over here? Do you love me more than these fine ships or these nets? Do you love me more than the fish that are laid out here? Do you love me more than the past? Your occupation that you had before I called you. See, it's interesting. The word love here is a Greek word, agapo. And I don't even know that I can describe what that means other than to say it's a godlike love. In a sense, he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than everything or anything? Peter says, yes, you know that I love you. I can picture Jesus saying, that was a good answer, Peter. We don't know what else he said, but he said these words. Feed my lambs. That had to have caught Peter off guard. If you love me, more than everything, feed my lambs. But Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? I don't know what Jesus was thinking, or Peter for that matter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than anything? Do you love me to the depths that I'm going to require of you? Do you love me more than the past, but do you love me to accept the future? Do you love me enough to trust the rest of your life to me? Oh, Peter, do you love me? I can imagine Peter's mind is just reeling. Why did he ask me that? I imagine his heart was beating fast. And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus probably thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Peter, for that answer. For your love now. But he only responds by saying, tend my sheep. And then he asked him a question again. Third time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? It's interesting. We say the word love here the third time, but it's a different word in Greek. This word is philia, Philadelphia, brotherly kind of love. This was a different kind of question that he was asking Peter. Maybe he's even challenging Peter, do you even like me? Love kind of like? Is this all a fraud? For Peter to have heard that, it probably crushed him. But then maybe Jesus had reason to scratch a little deeper about the commitment of Peter. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the washing of feet? And Jesus came to Peter and said, I'm going to wash. Peter's kind of quick to jump in and kind of quick to jump out. Peter's a lot like me. Maybe Peter's a lot like you. Jesus told the disciples what the future. And who was it that said, jumped in, no way, Lord, it's not going to happen. That was Peter. I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let them come get you. And though Jesus didn't say it, the implication is, Peter, you're dense. Everything that's happening is according to God's plan, my plan. I'm going to allow it because it needs to happen. You see, Peter got so wrapped up in the temporary that he fails to see the eternal. Peter's a lot like me. Maybe Peter's a lot like you. Then later, Jesus gives him a bigger clue. reveals, I guess you could say, a little more of his plan. He wants to make sure they don't misunderstand. And then particularly he goes to Peter and said, Peter, you're going to abandon me. And what does Peter respond? In a sense, he says, never, Lord. Now, these guys out here, they're all kind of wishy-washy. They might turn on you, but I'm going to never turn on you. Then, matter-of-factly, Jesus turns to Peter and said, before the sun rises again, you're going to perjure yourself three times about even knowing me. What's that make Peter? Coward? When it comes down to the nitty-gritty? Maybe I'm a lot like Peter. Maybe you're a lot like Peter. And then there's Jesus. He's in the garden. It's nighttime. It's dark. Soldiers come. They get ready to take away Jesus. Who was it? It was Peter who jumped out, drew his sword, probably aiming for the head, but he missed and got the ear. Jesus had to put it back on and in a sense turns to Peter and said, if you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And they leave Peter alone in the dark. Peter's a lot like me. Sometimes I'm in the dark. Maybe Peter's a lot like you. Can you picture Peter in the outer court during the trial of Jesus? Pharisees all gathered around. Late night meeting. Surely it's got to be very important. There's a stir amongst the folks here. Somebody's talking about this lunatic preacher out here who claims some kind of divine rights. And then somebody recognizes Peter. You're one of them, aren't you? What does Peter say? Me? No, you're mistaken. I don't know this guy. Lady chimes in. So, no, I saw you. You were outside Lazarus' house. Down in the valley. No, don't know anything about this guy. Little kid pops up. Mister, you're the one who shooed me away when my mom wanted to be brought to Jesus for a blessing. Ah, go away, little boy. This bad, mad rabbi up here is a fraud. I don't know him. And then the rooster crows. And Peter's reminded of the words. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. I imagine Peter probably buried his head in his hands, retreated to the dark shadows of the courtyard so nobody could identify him anymore. Sin sometimes finds comfort in shadows, darkness. And I've been there. Peter's a lot like me. Maybe you're a lot like Peter too. So what's Jesus telling Peter around this campfire after breakfast? Peter, do you love me? Peter, check your heart. Count the cost. Be absolutely sure, Peter, that you understand what the question is, because love is deeper than just a casual acquaintance, stronger than a friendship, requires much more than the fuzzy warm feeling that you get. There's no middle ground, Peter, comes to me and you. So think hard. Weigh your options. If you're not willing to be completely sold out for me, just keep on walking. If you're not willing to surrender your whole life to me, then you'll get back in that boat and row, row, row your way back out to sea. I called you to follow me. Not protect me, surely not to deny me. I told you to fish for the souls of men and women. Look at the fire, Peter. The fish and the bread that were on there, I provided, wasn't of your 153 fish. I don't need you to feed me. I don't need fishermen. I need fishers of men. So think real hard about this, Peter. And see how committed you are. Because the work I have for you will challenge your mind. It will zap your strength. and the path that you will have to walk will be covered in your own blood. So think hard, Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus probably thought, yeah, that's true. But what he said was, feed my sheep. Follow me, and I'll lead you. Deny me before men, and I will deny you before my Father. Love me as I have always loved you. Stay with me, and we're going to bring in a large load. The net will be full. And if you don't want to do that, just climb back in your little boat and sail away. I think as he said to Peter, he's also saying to us, because you see, we're all a lot like Peter in many, many ways. He's asking us the same question he asked Peter. Do you love me? Measure the cost. Don't answer too quickly. Because the path that he's asking us to walk may not be a path that's lined with roses. Make your stand. Just like Peter there on the hillside there by the seashore. Walk away from the past and accept the future. Choose. You know, we look back at the three times he asked, do you love me? And we say, I wonder if that's related to the three times that Peter denied me. Maybe that's what Jesus was thinking. But it's interesting that the answer that Jesus gives to the response that Peter makes is always something along the line about feeding my sheep or taking care of my lambs. Jesus is calling Peter out of the boat, calling him out of the pew, if you would. He's saying, Peter, if you love me, prove it. I've got a job for you. New challenge for you. New responsibilities for you. To walk is a path that will break you down, and at the end, it's going to kill you. That had to have struck Peter in the heart. So what does Peter do? He's taking all this from Jesus, and he looks over, and in the corner of his eye, he sees John. John wrote this. He doesn't refer it to him as John. He refers to the one that loved Jesus, even at the end. The three verses we didn't read in the rest of this chapter points that out. Well, what about him? That's a good question. You asking me to do all this stuff, what are you asking him to do? What's Jesus' response? Forget about him. Forget about everybody else. You follow me. Kind of the crux of the situation here. He didn't write this just so we can have a cool story about what Jesus did for breakfast one day. He wrote this so that we might get the point that Jesus has a job for you and I to do. Reality is, no one else can do your job. They've already got their assignments. So if you don't do it, don't expect somebody else to pick it up and take care of the slack. So the question comes back to each of us. Jesus is saying, do you love me? Yeah, sure, yeah, of course, yeah. Prove it. Get to work. Find out what you're supposed to do and do it. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's an interesting book in my library from the 1500s. It literally wasn't printed then. It was written then. It's called John Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs. Still in print today. That's how important it is. It's gory. It includes most all of the people up to that time who had died for their faith in Christ. Those that we read about thrown to the lions, burned at the stake. And in this book, there's an ancient legend about Peter's arrest and death. It says Peter sat in prison. He was awaiting execution. And one night, the opportunity presented itself, and Peter escaped. And as he was walking out of town, he crossed a bridge. And the story says that he saw the Spirit of Christ passing him on the way in the opposite direction. According to the story, Peter asks the Spirit of the Lord, "Where are you going, Lord?" And the Spirit of Christ answered, "I have come once again to be crucified." That's an interesting answer. To Peter, that meant, whoa. And Peter turned around and went back and was crucified. Legend says he claims he was unworthy to be crucified like Christ was crucified, so they crucified him upside down. As if Jesus was saying to Peter, "How many times do I have to die for you before you're willing to die for me? Do you love me, Peter? Prove it. Face your future." I don't know how true that is. Darn interesting legend. But it does beg the question, again, of, are we willing to face the future walking with Christ? Or will once again Christ have to hang up on the cross for us? This morning, we're going to sing the song of invitation, and he invites you to come to him. But he really asks that question. Do you love me? Do you love me enough that you're willing to stand up and confess your faith that you believe that Jesus is the Christ? To repent of your sins, change the direction, forget the past, look forward to the future of service. Are you willing to express that faith? And are you willing to be baptized to remove your sins? And then rising to prove it and work for the Lord. Come if you will as we stand and sing.